Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is number 111. I'm Pete.
And I'm Maureen.
We're the Sonic Boomers, and on every episode, we talk about the things that we pull off the top of our heads.
And sometimes out of somewhere else.
And very often, straight from the heart. And this week, our source is living.alot.com. We're going to be talking about an article written by Peyton Turner. The article is called 40 Things That Baby Boomers Think Are Cool. And I think this is going to be fun because I get the feeling from the picture that I saw of her is that she's a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the millennials think that we baby boomers think are cool.
And
maybe we did at one time, but not necessarily anymore.
Right. And that is where I depart from her.
So for the next half hour, we encourage you to listen and maybe pour yourself your favorite beverage.
You might need it by the time we're done.
What have you got there in your cup?
I've got some Bailey's Irish cream.
Well, it's Irish cream. Bailey's.
I just call it Bailey's because I never remember.
It's almost generic, like Frigidaire.
Okay.
Is generic for refrigerator.
Well, that's a boomer thing now.
Yeah. But yeah, it's actually Ryan's. But I think it's just as good as the Bailey's.
It's a close.
Yeah, really close. And certainly for what they charge you for it, it's pretty good. I've got burgundy today. So pour yourself a glass of whatever you like and listen along with us. And I'll take the first one.
Oh, you go right ahead.
And this one here, kind of when we first saw it,
this made us laugh.
It brought a laugh to the two of us. China plates. And the reason why is, in our home, we have a big hutch that the good china is in. China. I should call it China. It's China. And our son was over, and our son is a designer.
And art major.
Yeah, really good credentials. And he was saying, we were talking about that we wanted to get rid of this thing because it takes up room. It's in the living room. It's too big to be in the dining area. We wanted to get rid of it. And he says to us, well, you can start with these plates. It's full of plates. How often, why do you have these plates? And let's just say it got into a discussion as to why we needed these plates.
Yes. It's not that we need them. I want them. I enjoy them. They were a gift from my mother. They were something that I could hand down and that are something that makes me feel elegant and makes me feel good when I can serve a nice meal on them and entertain.
Even if we only use them two or three times a year.
That's fine. That's two or three times a year when I feel great.
Because that was one of
so bad.
Yeah, right. That was one of the things that he brought up. Well, you only use them like maybe twice, three times a year. And about passing them down, well, probably our kids aren't going to want them.
So let them sell them. I don't care.
Yeah.
Once we're gone, they can
do whatever they want with it.
But I'm enjoying them now, and I do use them, so there.
And Peyton Turner's comment about China plates is, she says, what's the point of having super expensive plates that never get used? They just take up space, and they're not really that pretty. Fine china is something that you forget you have until it gets broken.
Well, the other thing is that they are a symbol of better times, maybe. I have fond memories of my grandmother's blue willow china. When I think of Thanksgiving and I think of family gatherings, I picture the food being served on those plates. And as such, I have this affinity for that as a thing.
I think we baby boomers tend to be more emotional.
A little more sentimental.
A little maybe. More sentimental than millennials and younger generations. And I make no apologies for it.
Me neither. And the thing is, if I were getting married today, I would not necessarily ask for a fine china as a gift, or I would not be looking for my place settings. I would rather have the money put to something else. But in the era that we got married and the fact that I have it now, I make no apologies.
Okay, next.
Next are the 24-hour news networks.
Now, I thought that her comment on this was interesting.
Well, she says they're not actually news outlets because there's barely enough news to cover even a one-hour newscast, much less 24/7. And so these news networks tend to lean on fluff and stories that scare people.
Right. You're going to find that on both sides of the aisle. There are networks that lean very far to the right, others that lean more to the left. And you know what? In either case, I'm not sure that I would call that a true news network.
Yeah.
If you have to lean one way or the other, it's not true news.
Right. If you're going to be a journalist with integrity, you need to be impartial.
Yeah. So next, diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. So sang Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
But Peyton Turner says, supposed to be a girl's best friend, but in reality, overpriced rocks bought with blood of modern-day slaves in Africa. You can get a cubic zirconia, she says, which is cheaper and available in more colors.
Would she like them better if they came out of a mine in Colorado?
I don't know. I'm not sure that I buy all of it.
I don't. I think a cubic zirconia is a lovely costume jewelry. It can fool the eye.
I think it would fool most people.
It may, but it's the idea of substituting a fake stone for a real one that bothers me. And if you're buying it knowing that you're buying a cubic zirconia and you are okay with it, great. But if someone, if you were to give me an engagement ring and it was a cubic zirconia and I thought it was a diamond and I later found out it was cubic zirconia, I would feel terrible.
Okay, now, when you and I got engaged,
yes,
neither one of us had a pot to you-know-what in and a window to throw it out of.
Still don't know.
I had very modest means. Mm-hmm. I went to the mall, I bought you the engagement ring, and it was a third of a carat, 0.33. VVS1 was the quality. Very, very slight flaw, category one. That was all that I could afford, right?
Yeah.
And it was a tiny stone.
So? Did I complain?
Would you? No, you didn't. Would you rather have had that third of a carat real diamond, or if I got you, say, a half carat or a 1 carat that could have fooled anybody. Couldn't fool, you know, could have fooled anybody. Right. People wouldn't know. They would say, oh my God, Maureen, what a ring you got there. And they would all think that, and you could flash it around and say, oh yes, it's Pete got me a 1 carat diamond ring. Woohoo.
No, I want the third of carat real stone.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we went to several jewelers to price them out and to look at the different options. And there was one where the lady was saying to us, I could give you a bigger stone that was not a VVS one, that was had maybe a few more flaws, and it was still a real diamond.
I think it was yellow, too. She said it was like a yellow diamond. The color was a little off.
No,
okay.
It was still a white diamond, but there was, you know, something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Or by a jeweler's standard, not like anybody else's standard.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, I said, I want the very best, purest stone that we can afford that's real.
Because you were marrying the very best.
Yes. And you were getting a bargain.
Yeah. Okay, next you've got home shopping.
Home shopping. Now, that's another thing that I enjoy. I make no apologies for it. And Peyton says, they're just scams determined to sell you cheap, useless stuff that you don't need. There are so many options for acquiring useless junk now. Why do it through TV? Cut the QVC HSN middleman and buy your cheap goods directly from China.
From China.
And I think she's mixing home shopping with some of the As Seen on TV stuff, because a lot of that has turned out to be crap and disappointing.
Both of our laptops were purchased on home shopping.
Mm-hmm. And they're fine.
They're fine. We love them.
And they work well, and they were a good price, and they were a good value.
Yeah.
And I look for the best bargain that I can get on the stuff that I want. And I don't care if I buy it from TV, if I buy it from China, or if I buy it online. Whoever's got it for the price that I want, it's going to get my business.
I think the stupidest thing, though, that they do on home shopping channels is when they're showing you sound systems. Mm. And they're selling you, you know, the Bose Wave radio, mm-hmm. which is really expensive. And no, it is not worth $400 or $500. I had one, and I can tell you it is not worth $500. They do sound good, yeah. Again, had one. But is it worth that kind of money? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But that's my only problem, really, with HSN. And once in a while, you buy something, and it comes to you, and you have buyer's regret, and it does turn out to be something junky.
But it's not necessarily just HSN. It's anything. I've ordered things from Amazon, and I've had it come and say, ugh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, buyer beware. But again, it's not a boomer thing, I don't think. Writing checks, they're talking about holding up the line when you write them out in a store. It's so easy to carry one little card instead of a fat stack of checks. Bonus points for obnoxious personalized checks. Nothing says class like paying for your colonoscopy with a check plastered with puppies and kittens.
Okay, now I take a little umbrage to her comment here, because you're paying for a colonoscopy, mm-hmm. because that's what boomers do. Frankly, it's what you should do. It's a matter of health. Could be a matter of saving your life. So quit dumping on people getting colonoscopies.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't know anyone today who goes to the ShopRite and writes a check.
Yeah. Early on, when they first started taking checks in lieu of paper money, I could remember more people writing it out, but not anymore.
They don't even use cash anymore for buying things.
Just use your card. And that's
If you're using a check, might be something that you're doing with a mail transaction or something, mm-hmm. you know. But but I don't know anybody who uses checks to pay for groceries in any kind of a store.
Right. So another one we disagree with.
Landlines. What's the point, she says? Just get a cell phone and stick with it. We promise that you'll be fine without them. Yeah, I know what you're saying here, Peyton, but here's the deal on cell phones. They're good, but they sound like crap. And the other thing is, you're putting your reliance on something that can die on you in the middle of a conversation if you don't charge up that phone. And let's face it, sometimes we forget. And now
we're old.
And now you have an emergency and your cell phone is dead. Mm-hmm. And now you're screwed.
Yeah.
Now you're screwed. And it's in times like that you can't beat the reliability of a landline, because even if you have a power failure, mm-hmm. the landline will work because there's always backup. There's always redundancy mm-hmm. on a landline, unless the lines go down.
Right.
And how often does that happen? Not often.
Well,
not often.
But again, we don't have a landline any longer.
No, when we moved 3 years ago, that was the last of the landlines for us.
And so therefore, we are boomers and we do not fit her profile yet again.
Yeah.
So I think she needs to do her homework. That's my take.
Maureen is going to meet this girl out in the schoolyard after the podcast. You're all invited.
Fossil fuels. She said baby boomers are pro fossil fuels. And she says, oh yeah, researching and implementing green sustainable energy is such a waste. Why not just irreparably destroy the ozone while we fight wars over oil? She's talking about the wrong generation, because us boomers are the hippie, Greenpeace, Earth Day, peace and love, ecology, recycle generation. And I don't know where she's getting this from, but it's the people before the baby boomers, I think, that are the fossil fuel advocates.
Yeah, I mean, we're all for it. Yeah. We're all for it.
I don't want to be paying $5 a gallon for gas if I don't have to.
Yeah.
If they could find a way to, they were talking about there was some research being done on a way to use garbage and burn that and extract some kind of a fuel out of that. And use that for running your cars and your appliances and things like that around the house. I'm for that.
Yeah, I'm all for the new technology. Just bring it in at a price that the average guy can afford,
and make it available to everybody.
Yeah.
don't make you have to hunt and peck for it all over the place.
Okay. Well, next we're up at
the mall.
The mall. Again, I can't remember the last time that you and I went to a mall. It's got to be a decade.
I think so, at least. At least. Once we start getting the hang, because we're boomers and we're slow on technology, once we got the hang of shopping online and getting the stuff delivered to your door, why would you go to a mall?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I have heard that Woodbridge Center Mall, which was one of the original malls in New Jersey, that was one of the original Rouse Corporation malls. I am told it's not in good shape. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there used to be Seaview Square down in Ocean Township, and that closed. And they've revamped it now into a different kind of mall. And Livingston Mall, the last time you and I were up there, and that had to be 10 years ago.
At least.
It was empty then.
We've driven by it on occasion on our way to other places, and there's nobody in the parking lot.
And I don't think the American Dream up there in Secaucus is doing particularly well either.
I don't think so.
It could be, part of it could be you charge people to park there. Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? So, no, I think that we baby boomers, we have pretty heavily embraced Amazon,
mm-hmm.
or anything that brings it right to your door.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know too many of us that are still going up to the mall.
Except for some people use it for an exercise place.
Yeah, which is not bad.
Yeah.
It's really not bad.
Yeah, it's like an indoor track. You go from one end to the other.
Yeah, they got the music playing. It's all level and... Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Denim everything. Denim is great. And all great things come in moderation, says Peyton. Moderation is something boomers don't know much about. Really?
Yeah.
Really? We don't care if you're related to Levi Strauss. A head-to-toe denim look is not as stylish as you
think. I wish we were related to Levi Strauss.
And I still wouldn't take a head-to-toe denim look. I like denim. Mm-hmm. I would like a nice denim jacket. I like a denim jeans that fit well. I would like a denim skirt maybe once in a while.
Can dress it up, dress it down, any way you like.
But head to toe, no way. No way.
Encyclopedias. The encyclopedia. E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-D-I-A.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. And Peyton says, no baby boomer home is complete. Well, you know what? I would change that to was complete without a set of encyclopedias, especially if you had kids. They probably got them from door-to-door salespeople. With the rise of Google, this is long obsolete, and it makes your home look dated and take up space. Yeah, we hear you on that. We agree with you on that. My folks got my first set of encyclopedias, which was the Golden Book.
Mm-hmm. That's what we had as well.
And the second set that I had, which got me through high school, was the Funkin' Wagnalls.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't from a salesperson. You bought a book a week at the supermarket for like 99 cents or something.
Right, when you spent $5 or something.
I wanted the Britannica. The Britannica was the Cadillac of encyclopedias. And I remember dunning my poor mother that I wanted Encyclopedia Britannica. And she was like, it's too much money, Peter. I can get it for 99 cents at the store, at the ShopRite this week.
Yeah.
And they were okay.
They were fine. And if you want the Britannica, the library has it for free.
I wasn't working on a PhD or anything. Yeah. It was fine.
So, again, it's another overgeneralization by our dear friend Peyton, which I do not agree with. Phone books are next. Such a waste of paper. Look for names and numbers on Facebook or something. Again, don't use them. Don't have one. I'm a boomer.
How many of you that are listening to our show right now have phone books in your house? Comment below.
Yeah, I don't. To tell you the truth, I very seldom make a real phone call anymore. We send instant messages. We text. But it's been a while since I actually just called somebody up and had an actual conversation.
Yeah, I do. I do find sometimes I'll say to somebody, call me or I'll call you. I don't feel like texting out, writing up.
Well, it depends on what it is, you know. But
a phone book, you know, I remember growing up here in this, our development here in Madison Park, and they used to have a little phone book called the Who's Who. And everybody that lived in Madison Park had the option of having their phone number in that book.
Okay.
In fact, if you go back to one of the, I think it's the You Know You're From Madison Park Facebook page, Jeffrey Hills, who used to live a few houses down from me, actually had his old phone book.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he has a picture of it in there.
Cool. Shag carpets. Nothing says I'm stuck in the 60s like a shag carpet.
Agreed.
And it never looked nice. It feels weird under the foot. Don't even start on keeping it clean. You need to hire a groomer.
Yep.
But again, I don't know that many boomers today who would opt for shag carpeting.
Yeah. Comment below. Do you have shag carpeting in your house?
I would like to know, because I think any of the boomers that I know are opting for nice hardwood floors.
Or nice ceramic tile floor or something.
Or that luxury vinyl stuff that they have that looks like wood. Yeah. I know anybody that would prefer shag. Now, I know people that have bought a house that maybe had never been updated and they're stuck with a shag carpet for the time being. But to opt for that, no way.
Next is bar soap, right?
Yep. Go ahead. You can go. Oh, okay.
She says, gross and more tedious than liquid soap. Yeah, it can be kind of gross. It can be kind of gross.
Well, if it's just you and me, I...
We know baby boomer... Oh, now here's...
This is where she's Peyton, snarky again.
Peyton, you're getting a little snotty here, as my mother would say. You're getting snotty, PETA. I don't like when you're snotty like that to me. Peyton, you're a little snotty. She says, we know baby boomers' weak knees and hips could mean trouble if you drop the soap. Maybe invest in a waterproof life alert if you insist on keeping bar soap, or just switch to gel soap and be done with it. Really, that's kind of patronizing.
It is. It is.
I'm sorry, Peyton. I'm going to join Maureen out in the schoolyard with you.
Okay, meatloaf. And we're talking about the meat, not the rock singer.
Not the rock singer.
Baby boomers grew up with it. Yes, there are some who still eat this, but it's bland and looks gross. What's the deal with slathering ketchup all over it, which makes it look even worse, is what Peyton says. Now, I personally, I like meatloaf, although I am fussy about it. I do not like it as a blanket statement. I like certain people's meatloafs. I will not just order it carte blanche.
I like the one that they have in Houlihan's. Meatloaf number 9, I think they call it.
Something, yeah. Mambo number 9.
And my mom used to make it a lot, but because I think it was cheap.
It was cheap.
You know, you could buy a pound of chopped meat and make meatloaf out of it, and then you were good to go.
And it tasted good.
Yeah.
And the
you can spice it up, put some stuff in there, spice it up a little bit.
What's the difference with putting ketchup on meatloaf and ketchup on a hamburger?
Yeah. Well, she's saying that it looks gross.
Well, ketchup, it's the same thing. It's ketchup on chopped beef.
Yeah.
Whether it's in a patty or whether it's in a loaf. What's the difference?
Yeah. Cop dramas. Now, I agree. She says, some of these are completely ridiculous and overdone. Mm-hmm. There are so many that they all tend to blend together. She's like at this point, there's about 20 Law and Orders and just as many CSIs.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I
agree too.
I mean, if you like Law and Order, if you like CSI, happy for you. But I agree. There's a lot of them, and you really can't tell the players without a scorecard.
Yep. And the next one is complaining about political correctness.
I get it.
And
it's gone a little far.
It's
gone to the point there where it's getting a little silly, I think.
And this is one thing that I think maybe boomers need to maybe own up to a little bit. And maybe it's not just boomers. It might be what's the next one, millennial after boomer, where I think it becomes a product of the everybody gets a trophy generation.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you can't say that somebody is better than somebody else at something and reward that. Yeah. Everybody's got to have a level playing field. Everybody's got to be equal. And I'm not saying that you need to be discriminatory or degrading anybody for their lack of whatever it is, ability, talent. But to say that it's a boomer thing, not so much.
No, not so much. And let's face it, there are some people that are never going to make it past T-ball. Mm-hmm. It's just not their thing. And there's other people that are going to become Derek Jeter. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But to say then that you can't tell somebody that they're not good at something.
This everybody gets a trophy correct. Stuff is it's flat out ridiculous. Patently ridiculous.
Patently ridiculous. Patently,
yeah, patently ridiculous.
Okay, here's the next one this is one that I think you love. Too many throw pillows. And I think if you watch TV, there's the commercials for
Progressive Insurance
with Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
The guy that's like the Dr. Phil lookalike.
Dedicated to keeping people from turning into their parents.
And there's one where he is with the woman and they show her couch and it is overrun with throw pillows. And he's like, if there's nowhere to sit, you have too many pillows.
I love that. I love that. And he says it with that patronizing voice. Yes.
So Peyton says, if your guests are drowning in throw pillows, you may have too many, unless you're having pillow fights regularly. A couple is probably fine for most settings. And I agree. So I don't think it's a boomer thing. Yeah.
Comment below, listeners. Do you have throw pillows in your house? And how many do you have?
And to tell you the truth, I like the look. We have like about four on our couch, and I like the look of it. But when people come over, I'm always telling them,
we take them away.
Throw it on the floor.
Just throw pillows, so throw them on the floor.
Because it's hard to sit with them. But I like the looks of them.
Peyton's comments. She says, baby boomers of America, we're so deeply sorry to say this, but these things were never cool. No, it's time to accept that these choices were mistakes and move on to make better choices from now on. Yes, yes, we know that some of these will be shocking and hard for you to accept. You may be angry, you may disagree, and that's okay.
Well, gee, thanks for your permission,
Thank you,
Peyton.
Thank you, Peyton. Just know, even if you disagree, you are still wrong. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you, Peyton. Again, if you want to run your eyeballs over this, it's available at
living.alot.com.
Right.
So.
And the author is
Peyton Turner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. We thought you would enjoy hearing that. Yeah, we agree with a little bit of it, and we disagree with a whole lot of it. That's it for the Sonic Boomers for this go around. Until next time, I'm Pete Torriello.
And I'm Maureen Torriello.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.